In the 50s, your remembrances of Tulsa, downtown businesses, movie theaters, that type of thing.
Oh, it was a wonderful place. Of course, I had come up here from Seminole, which at that time was a fairly bustling place because the peak of Oklahoma oil and Tulsa oil is somewhere between 1952 and 1960 in there. But anyway, I came up to Tulsa and it was wonderful. I'd go downtown and the men were wearing either white or two-tone shoes and straw hats. And they looked like Wall Street. And they had a big mail establishment called the Orpheum Grill, which had a blackboard, and they were writing up, I guess, the results of horse races, and they had poker and pinochle in the back, and they had a bar. Of course, it must have been a beer bar, because at that time, Oklahoma was still dry. But Tulsa was an absolutely fantastic place. I remember my mother drove me all the way from Seminole to Tulsa when I was, like, in the freshman class, to show me the Boston Avenue Methodist Church, which she said was one of the great examples of modern architecture, and to take me and show me the mural in the First National Bank building. And I don't know whether you've ever seen that mural, but it's a wonderful mural. And now it's really sort of lost everyone because they no longer have the public access to this area, or at least not very many people. So Tulsa was an amazing, amazing place. And, of course, once I got up here, I got a job as a lifeguard at Southern Hills. So my summer of my junior year, I passed up a chance to go to Boys State because, well, we needed the money. Anyway, so I go out there and I'm lifeguarding at Southern Hills, which is the creme de la creme of the oil barons of Tulsa. And I got to know all of their children and I got to know a lot of them by sight. You know, those were the days when Tulsa may have had 15 or 20 major companies located here. And they all, of course, played golf at Southern Hills and that sort of thing. So that gave me a good, sort of a nice view. I used to have to hitchhike out Lewis. It was a blacktop road in those days. You know, there wasn't much town past 31st. In fact, I was examining an abstract the other day, and I don't think south of 31st came into the city limits until something like 1952. So anyway, Southern Hills was beautiful. Downtown was beautiful. The First National Bank was sort of the key. The BOK had never really recovered from the exchange bank collapse. And so the BOK at that time was definitely second fiddle. I eventually came back in the late 60s, was a lawyer, and I met many of those bankers. But it was the First National Bank, the Boston Avenue Methodist Church, oil companies all up and down. My dad worked on Main Street. Gulf had a big office on Main Street. Then they had the refineries, which were going full tilt. And the other thing was I got a chance to work in the refineries. So I worked in the refineries a couple of summers, so I got to sort of see that side of Tulsa. The refineries had just come out of a huge labor struggle that was still being talked about. This labor struggle took place, I don't know whether it was the late 40s or the late 30s, but anyway, there was an attempt to organize it. And it got to the point where they had to call out the National Guard. And many Tulsans knew the late Charlie Cothey. Cothey is sort of a famous name around here. Well, Charlie was a young lawyer, and he got his fame as the lawyer for Mid-Continent, which was the name of the oil company. This was before Mid-Continent was bought by Sunray DX. This was a real knockdown, drag-out labor fight. I mean, people burning people's cars and all this, and the union was broken. When I went out to work there, people were still talking about it because some of the workers out there were still sort of bitter about the fact that they had lost the battle. So I got to see Tulsa, and oh, and of course, downtown Tulsa on Christmas, the windows of most of the stores like Vandiver's and so forth had mannequins that moved. And you would go downtown to go from place to place to see the displays. You'd get in the elevators, and the elevators were jammed with people. And, you know, the woman operating the elevator would say, first floor, lingerie, second floor, sporting goods, and so forth. It was a wonderful place. And I remember I was interested in going to Stanford, so they said, go by and see Sam Brenner. Sam Brenner had a store. It was called Brenner's. His dad had founded it on the corner of 4th and Boston. There's a brokerage house there or something, but it was quite a place. They sold shoes. And
so it was a men's clothing store.
Men's clothing, very nice. And about a block west was Wolf Brothers. Wolf Brothers had its own floor walker. He was beautifully dressed. He had a waistcoat. I remember going in there one time to buy a shirt, and I couldn't buy the one that had the brocade because it was $5. It had a sort of a white pattern in it. But Wolf Brothers was really a clothing store almost out of the movies. And, of course, we had real money in Tulsa at that time.
You remember restaurants?
They had a restaurant on Main Street called Bishop's. It was an all-night restaurant, or close to all-night. So if you went to a play or you went to a movie, you go to Bishop's at 10, and the place was packed. And everybody was there. I mean, it seemed like in those days you would go out on a date or you'd go on an event, and then you would go out and hang out in one of these restaurants for 2 or 3 hours. You know, nowadays people go to the movies and seem to go straight home. There's no sort of night spot. Well, Bishop's was quite popular and also a big luncheon spot. It would have been on Main Street between 4th and 5th on Main. I'm trying to think of what else they had. Of course, in those days, if you had a lot of money and you wanted to take your girl to a fancy place, you took her to the Louisiane. I guess the Louisiane stayed in business for quite a while. I never had enough money to take anybody to the Louisiane, but that's sort of where you went. There was another all-night place at the corner of 15th and Peoria, and it was a honk-and-holler type place, but had a big inside area, and it was always filled with people late at night. It was amazing. There were 3 or 4 places you could go after the movies at midnight and find people, the people you knew, and check to see if your girlfriend was with somebody else.
Is it true that downtown during the day for shopping, everybody, particularly the ladies, would get all dressed up and they'd have their hats and their gloves on, and it was really a big thing to dress up to go downtown?
I can't remember seeing a man on the street in Tulsa that didn't have a hat on, now that I think about it. And, of course, most of these bankers and oil company people, you know, I have a picture of my grandfather of his farm. They have their 2 horses there, and 2 of my uncles are on these horses. Everybody's sitting there, and my grandfather is wearing a straw hat, a man's hat, snap-brim hat, white shirt and tie, and my father is wearing a tie. Now, of course, they dressed a lot more formally then, but people really did get dressed up. I remember, of course, when the airlines first came along, people go out to the airlines, and they dressed up.
To fly.
Yeah.